So, Eric, you saw that tweet by Stephen Lewis. What do you think?
That was shocking.
I just think it's kind of funny because it doesn't seem like Expression Engine is old enough for people to be, you know, quote unquote, retiring.
Right.
But I suspect, I mean, I'm hypothesizing here, but I suspect that he kind of just got sick of supporting his add-ons. And I kind of understand it. You know, I think it would be kind of liberating as a developer to just say, here, I'm just making everything free and giving up the responsibility of having to support these.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, from a bunch of his articles he'd written, he's definitely kind of disillusioned. You know, he very uncomfortable with LS Lab and unhappy with a lot of the directions they were going in. Just fair enough. Mm. You know, I kind of went through the same thing with WordPress, and it's funny you mentioned the liberation, because that feeling when I decided to give up WordPress development and no longer support my app, my plugins. Oh my god, that was a good day.
How many add-ons did you have then, or plugins?
WordPress, I had 3 or 4, but pretty popular. And just the amount of entitlement you would get from people, you know, like for a free thing,
yeah.
It was shocking. In fact, if you go to my blog, I still list a couple of them on there, but the most popular one was a Click Tracker, mm-hmm. and that thing had like 300 comments on it. Like that was my support thing with it. People would go to and post a comment, be like, "This doesn't work," and just be absolutely belligerently rude about it sometimes over something free. I'm just like, It sucked, man. It was very upsetting.
So did you shut them down, or did you discontinue them, or are you just not offering support?
I left the code up there, but I just made a big official, you know, this is unsupported anymore. Use it at your own peril. And actually, last I checked, it still works with WordPress, but I will not support it anymore.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, speaking of support, I mean, I've been following this Stack Exchange proposal. I think I'm really excited about it. And also, I think a lot of people are getting behind it, so I think it's going to go through into beta. I really hope it does. I feel that it'll do a lot for us as a community, because I don't know if you remember, but like years ago, like the Expression Engine community forums is where it was basically the hangout for everyone in the community. But that's been lost. You know, we have kind of people moved over to Twitter, but Twitter just doesn't do the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, for the Stack Exchange, I'm excited for that, just in that it'll empower our users to kind of figure things out on their own. Mm. And plus the community helping each other, that's always a little bit better. Whereas with, you do your support with Devotee too, right?
Yeah, with Devotee, their forums, yeah, and it works okay. I mean, sure. It works quite good.
But it's more like a posting board for the developer to go in and help people, as opposed to the community helping each other.
Exactly,
which is
what
it seems to be all about, which anything to take that off my plate is huge. Love the idea.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it'll benefit Expression Engine, or sorry, LS Lab as well, because, you know, Expression Engine has its own support that it has to deal with, and this way it may go back to the way it used to be, which was that people like me included, I would go in there and just see what people were asking, and if I knew the answer, just answer it. So it takes pressure off the people who are supporting their products, including LS Lab.
Right. No, I'm definitely on board with it. It's and plus the gamesmanship of it. You know, you get points for the more you answer, the more accepted stuff, the badges. It seems to make it more of a game, really, which is pretty interesting paradigm, I think. And it's worked out really great for Stack Overflow.
True. Yeah, I love the fact that it came from just a proposal that Patrick Poehler threw up there on the first day of EECI.
That was. Came up?
Yeah, that's how it happened. I mean, just kind of, you know, he mentioned it to me. It has led to a lot, I think. There's a lot of people behind it, and it's going to be great if it goes through. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm trying to imagine, you know, will we all take down our devotee forums and, you know, start saying, okay, if you want support, head over to Stack, I don't know what it'll be called. What will it be called? But, I mean, devotee has proved that having, I don't like the term one-stop shop, but, you know, one place where you can get everything. It works, and the fact that you have to go to get support for some add-ons to Devotee, for other add-ons to their own website. So having things centralized, just, I think it has two main advantages. It makes it easier to find what you're looking for and quicker what you're looking for, but also gives it a sense of community.
Definitely. No, and in fact, the one thing that I found is that, yeah, like, official support for me specifically is on Devotee. But, in fact, one of the unfortunate things about how those forums are done is that we do have the power to go in and close out our own stuff, but people can still go in and post within those closed forums.
True. Yeah.
So even though it'll say that it's been resolved or it's solved, it'll have a new topic within it. Like, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It just makes it really, really tough to manage things. But of course, the only workaround for that is we end up with a whole bunch of duplicates,
right?
Where, you know, which is also another problem, which I'm hoping Stack Exchange will help to remedy.
It might do, because it also has this, you know, it's not a forum; it's this Q&A site. So it has this, you know, ranked answers. So hopefully, you know, each question will be a single question with one focal point, and whatever is voted up as the best answer will be that single answer. And it should hopefully mean that you don't have to read through an entire forum post anymore. You know, you have your question, you have your top answer.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a really great feature I see on a Stack Overflow is if you go in and you're asking a question that had previously been asked, it'll in real time do like an autocomplete of sorts saying, is this your question, and kind of help you to see that this has already been asked somewhere else, so it kind of points you in the right direction to help yourself. I'm excited for it. I would really like to see it happen, but it seems we've kind of hit a roadblock, at least in terms of reputation, because they do have their rules.
Yeah, so
we've passed the proposal stage, which happened fast, a couple days, and it was done.
Right.
But then in order to really make it official, we need to have, I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's just say, I might be making this up, but like 100 people with a reputation on any Stack Exchange site of 200 or more. And right now it seems like there's only about 19 of us that have that.
Right.
And the rest, like, we have about at least 200 or 300 people that have signed up for the proposal and have committed to the project, but they don't have enough reputation where their involvement is really even helping.
Yeah, and I don't want to linger too much on support, but I mean, what we saw at EECI, with especially with the panel discussion, I think, was that, you know, over and over again, developers are saying that support is making life difficult. You know, they're just about breaking even, which I think a lot of people there were quite shocked to hear. People like companies like Solspace and Pixel and Tonic are breaking even, basically, because they have to put so many resources into support.
Right. Yeah, it's more than that, though, because it's also a little demoralizing where with a, you know, a $30 add-on, or, you know, even a $10 add-on, somebody needs support and you spend more than 10, 15 minutes on it.
Right.
You made no money. In fact, you are working at a loss just trying to help out this one person.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that the paradigm for support has kind of become that level of expectation where we have to continually support it, even though it is at a loss, and I mean the customers expect it, and really it's a tough call, because what do we do? Say no? But at the same time, it is definitely a problem.
Yeah. And the other thing with Continuum is that I'm hoping that people will actually open it up and look at the source code, because that was my alternative motive, was to kind of show how add-ons should be built if you want them to be completely extensible. So, you know, I've done the abstraction to a library, so it can be called by other add-ons. It also contains lots of hooks. So I'm hoping that especially people starting out will download it, because it will be free, have a look at it, and learn some good practices from it.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was first starting out doing add-on dev, it was tough to find consistent examples. I mean, you could see that the code was always quality. You never really had that feeling like you were walking through, you know, a 13-year-old kid's little pet project type thing, like you always did with WordPress or certain other platforms. It always did have a certain level of quality. But now it seems to be consistency is the big thing. You know, as you're talking, I brought up just making all of our stuff interoperate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very few examples that do that. I mean, obviously, my stuff does that, Carthrop does that, your stuff does that, but there's still dozens of developers who still continuously write a field type that is just an ft.php file, you know, where if they took the time to abstract it, added in some hooks, it would just add in so much more value than what's currently there. And there's not that many examples. You know, so I mean, when you're first starting out, if we could actually have something that just kind of gave a basic roadmap of best practices and how to really kind of make your stuff solid and I hate to use the word, but like future proof, you know, because we don't know what somebody's going to want to use it for. We don't know what exactly is going to be the main goal of using it or what the client's needs are going to be, what problems this add-on is going to solve outside of what our own limited imagination has. Mm. And I think that this would be a very, very good thing. Expression, the platform itself is a toolkit. You're able to do so much more than just a blog or a basic brochure site or a full member site or an online store. You can build out pretty much anything you want. I mean, and now people are using add-ons to build out, you know, iPhone apps and BlackBerry apps. I mean, things that you just wouldn't really think would be of interest or even possible before.
Exactly. I don't think LS Lab could have ever dreamed of some of the add-ons that we've created and how their CMS could be used in so many ways. And I think we shouldn't limit ourselves to the same way of thinking either. We should also be like open to people doing crazy things or things that just we never would have thought of on our own.
I agree.
That's where innovation and ingenuity come in.
Absolutely.
I did want to talk about EECI and going to conferences in general. I mean, I feel lucky that I've been to the last three EECIs, and I'm pretty sure there are people who, you know, use Expression Engine probably every day or nearly every day, but have never been to a conference. And I just think it's really a pity, because the thing about a conference is that you interact with people and you see people, and we get so much more from real interaction, social interactions, than we do with virtual ones. So while, you know, I do like, you know, going on Twitter and seeing what's going on, it's not the same as meeting people.
Conferences are crazy important. It's the one-on-one, especially because, I mean, so many of us. In fact, I realized this last year at the Brooklyn EECI, was just how big of a bubble I was working in. You know, I mean, working with a single designer or even a group of designers or a junior programmer, you really kind of boost up your ego to a point that's just not really maintainable. It's not really practical. You keep getting, you're in such a positive feedback loop where you start to almost believe your hype. And then you go to a place like ECI and you just realize, I don't know anything. You know, I don't know nearly as much as I thought I did. These guys are just, I need to shut up and just listen. A very humbling moment for me.
EECI for me was very real, because there were people. I remember on the last night, you know, going back to the hotel after the drinks, it was about 2 a.m, and there were still people in the lobby chatting about Expression Engine stuff, and just having a good time in general. And I remember, and I think this is, I don't say unique to EECI, but because we're a close-knit community, we're not afraid to talk, and we like exchanging ideas. I remember I was at South by Southwest 2 or 3 years ago, and in between talks, people wouldn't be talking because they would be walking around looking at their phones and texting each other or Twittering to people. And I was thinking, come on, guys, I mean, you're at a conference, take advantage of this, talk to people. Don't just, you know, go listen to a speaker and then jump on your email until the next talk begins. And I feel that EECI this year, especially, I wrote this in my blog article, because it was at a resort, which I wasn't crazy about the idea originally, but in hindsight, it meant that there was nowhere else to go, so there weren't small groups going off to different bars or cafes, and there was only one bar, there was only one place to eat, you know, so we were all kept together, and it was great. I had some great discussions, you know, one-on-ones, but also in small groups.
And compared to last year's EECI in Brooklyn, which I that was my first EECI, and I loved it. I had a great time. Made a lot of friends, learned a great deal, but it was very fragmented. It was at the end of the conference, you know, after the small little kegger after parties that we would have, everybody would just split. And no, I mean, you may run into some people over there at another place, but it was always in, you know, groups of 3, 4, and that was it. And this, it was, what was so brilliant about this is that, I mean, literally you could just go up to any table, and everybody was super accommodating. Everybody was like pulling out a chair for you, and hey, sit down. We're just talking about Expression Ninja. We're talking about this add-on or that talk. And it was very engaging, and I loved that. It was just so well, especially for programmers like us. Which I mean, as a HR, I don't want to speak for you, but By default, I'm a little introverted. I don't want to say shy or anything like that, but around my own people, around programmers who know this stuff, it really kind of gets me going. And to just be welcomed like that, it was very, very awesome. It was a welcome change and a very nice surprise. Robert did such a great job on this one. It's a shame he's not going to be doing next year's.
Yeah, I agree.
But developer licenses. One thing at EDCI, I really a recurring theme, I should say, is I was approached by honestly about five different companies who bought developer licenses of Backup Pro, and their reaction to it was very encouraging and very complimentary. Mm. The one consistent theme I kept running into was that they felt bad using the developer license, that they use it so much and they like it so much that they would have no problem whatsoever continuing to buy licenses. And that really got me thinking, because it seems like a big theme within Expression Engine is that pretty much any time, it's almost knee-jerk, where somebody comes out with an add-on and then somebody within the community is going to say, great, where's the developer license? And for me, I kind of bought into that a little bit of thinking, well, why not? You know, I mean, people are asking for it. We really might as well. And in my mind, because it's PHP code, and it just seemed that it was better to get the max amount of money up front as opposed to continually kind of crossing my fingers and hoping that customers would continue to support and purchase new licenses, as opposed to just literally copying and pasting from one installation to another. Because we don't do DRM. We don't really try and restrict anything. Very few of us do license confirmation, anything like that. If anything, it's like a simple regex just to make sure it matches a specific format. But even then, we don't lock out functionality. Like, it'll just nag you a little bit. Hmm. My mind, like, I was really thinking that a developer license is going to make a lot of sense. And they hear back from the customers that they love the product so much, and they bought the developer licenses because I offered it, and they're going to continue using it, and they're not going to buy new licenses because they did buy the developer one. And they really shouldn't, don't get me wrong, that developer licenses might be a bit of an issue. And I spoke with a couple people. I don't want to say who, because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I did speak with a couple top level developers and just kind of asked their opinion about developer licenses. And without a doubt, all of them, every single one, said that they were just silly. In fact, the one consistent argument I heard was that I'm solving a problem that isn't mine. My problem is to solve backups or to solve security stuff or to solve whatever problem my add-on solves. And that the only thing that the developer license actually solves is a client's ability to maintain and manage their licenses, which isn't my problem. That is nothing with me or with the business that I'm into whatsoever.
Right. And so, the other thing is, if you're putting, you know, a lot of time and investment into your add-ons, I assume the type of investment you're putting in, it's not short-term. I mean, yes, it's nice if you have higher number of sales this year, but developer licenses, they're not good for a long-term investment, because it means that, you know, as more and more people buy developer licenses in the future, less and less people will buy single site licenses, and you kind of your sales will just drop off in the long term.
Right. It's almost like we're cannibalizing the future to make an extra dollar today.
Yeah.
That just it's just not economically feasible. It's not any sense long term.
No, and it's not really sustainable either, because it means that you just, it forces you to have to keep releasing more and more and more add-ons in order to maintain your level of sales, because less and less people will be buying new licenses. Now, I know you don't offer, or I believe you don't offer developer licenses of all your add-ons. It's just a couple, right?
Yeah, I really tried to limit it to just the add-ons I thought should be across every site, thinking that, you know, every site is going to need backup, every site is going to likely need some sort of a cron mechanism or security implementation. So it's really just those three.
What went into your CT admin update?
Oh man, so many things. I added in extension hooks for views. I'd never attempted that before. I didn't even know if it was possible. But one of the biggest things I kept getting, because it basically takes Kartra, which is a build your site however you want in any way you want platform. I don't know if any of the other e-commerce ones work in this way, but you can do anything. Like, it uses expressions and tags, and it uses expressions and core. And I built CTN basically trying to take all the crazy that Kartra can allow you to do and have it make logical sense. So it gives you a dashboard, just like a pretty much any online store. It gives you a dashboard where you can view reports and analytics and export your data and just kind of manage things a little bit. And one of the biggest, I don't want to say complaints, but yeah, complaints, was that you people would want to extend it out and add in custom reports for just how their client is doing things, or, you know, like their individual product, where it just made a little bit more sense for their specific client. And you really couldn't do that. Not without modifying the core, which, I mean, obviously never, ever, 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 ever do. So I added in extension hooks for views, but not within the view. I ended up having to get a little clever about it and abstract everything out to their own libraries and methods and then kind of pass all that to the view. It gets a little complicated. But now it's possible where you can go in, you can modify what data is displayed, where it's displayed. You can add in entirely new view blocks and new accordion things, and just kind of add in or customize things to match what your client's expectations are. So you're not stuck with, I mean, as you mentioned in your presentation, like my interpretation of what I think a store should be. Now you can go in and kind of tweak things and make things a little bit more customized and more to exactly how you want it. I added in product vectors, where now it'll give you detailed product reports. So using how I use it, I pull in my data from Devoti, and I use CTAdmin to kind of see the statistics and trends. And so I can go in and see that, you know, Backup Pro, every single month it'll tell you, you know, give you a nice little chart, and I made this much, and this is how much the commission was. And I can click down and see every individual order for every month and every customer who'd ever bought it, and just kind of and data export and doing a whole bunch of stuff at a product level.
Yeah, you showed me that at ECI. I was really impressed. But I was wondering, how did you pull in that data? I mean, is it on the flyer? Do you do a product import or a sales report import?
Yeah, in fact, I do a sales report import using Automati, where every 10 minutes it'll pull Devoti, and I wrote a custom add-on to basically take the Devoti data and import it into Kartra. And then I can just use CTAdmin and Kartra natively, because the data is already in there. So I just, you know, it was kind of a twofold thing. Like, one, it allows me to get reports and data about my performance as an add-on developer. But the other thing is, it also allows me to dog food out CTAdmin, which I ran into that as a big issue, where built it out for a client, and then the client side went live, and I just couldn't use CTAdmin anymore. I couldn't go in there and like use their site to fix things or to update things, because their site was live. So that was a very nice solution, because now it I have consistent new data when my needs come up, where I think, oh, I would like to know this. I you know, it's a practical thing, because I'm trying to manage my data. I'm trying to manage my online store, even though technically I don't sell anything on my site, but it's still using Kartra data. It's still stored exactly where Kartra would. So it kind of solved two problems doing it that way.
Yeah, that's a nice solution, because that's often the case where we want to test things, but we're testing locally on you know, our development servers, and it's not a real case scenario. And that's really where you want to be testing, you know, at least before you release something into the public or for production. And also you get a nice sales report on your add-ons, because Devoti doesn't have, apart from their sales API, they don't have any sort of reporting. And I wrote a little script, which I released to everyone, that, you know, does a little Google chart for you and shows you your sales by month. But really, you want to go into more detail, and you want to see what's performing, what's not performing. I believe I spoke with Mr. Masuga at ECI. I believe they have something in the works. I don't know how far along, but
if it wasn't for CTAdmin, I probably any of this, but needing the dog food, that was a great habit to realize, like, I need to step things up, and it just became, you know, solving a personal problem of mine.
And just, yeah, just on that point, I wanted to say that I find it great that I can, you know, I work on client sites, but I also develop my add-ons. And I find that that gives me a good perspective because I can see my add-ons actually being used in the real world, and I use them and I see other people using them. Whereas I feel if I was only doing add-ons, I would miss that whole perspective. I would be so involved in the add-on that I wouldn't see it from the other side, which is, you know, actually how it's being used, how it's functioning, how it's performing. So I think that's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, in fact, I get asked that quite a bit, is if I'm just doing add-on development. A lot of people at ECI really seem to think that was just what I did. And a lot of people were surprised when I was, no, I still have a day job. Like, I still got to do my contract work. But I don't think that I could ever really stop. It just wouldn't be practical. I mean, as you said, I mean, developing in a bubble where I just have no real practical experience or practical idea of what it's actually going to be used for is not a very compelling product. And with add-ons, that's kind of what our job is to solve problems. And if we're not faced with those problems, we don't know what to solve. We just have an idea, this might suck, and 9 times out of 10, we're going to be wrong.